2 weeks ago, Brother Crawford called me at 10 minutes till 7 and said, "Are you in the building? I need you to preach." That was nowhere near as scary as when Linda got up to go. It was between me and you. I'm sure glad you sang. And so is everybody else. Hi, thank you, brother. Last Sunday morning, when we were preparing to leave for the afternoon, Brother Stone asked Brother Jason if he was going to be back Sunday night. He said, "No, I won't." And I said he could have at least explained that you were going to be at another church, that you just wasn't going home to lay up for the rest of the day. He didn't do that, so I thought I'd help him out a little bit now. I gave him a visitor's card when they showed up Sunday. So, but they've been out trying to raise support. They got their building papers signed, and we're happy about them getting it set up and leaving. But for the rest of y'all, we're not happy at all that y'all are planning on. And we're still in negotiations, aren't we? Okay, all right. You know, it blesses my soul to see y'all come from as far as y'all do and here on Wednesday night. And that's just, that strengthens my faith, brother. Anyway, back to you. Come on, preach for us.
Thanks, brother. It's good to meet all of you. James chapter number 1, if you go ahead and be turning there. James chapter number 1. I hope Brother Harry didn't get caught in traffic. He had to leave and go to his parents' house and pick up a needle for my wife. So y'all pray for him. And I'm going to try to tell some jokes as I get into this message. So if they don't go well, just pretend and help me out and laugh, because I don't normally tell jokes, all right? They say that the Bible says that laughter doeth good like a medicine. And really, we need to get our theology from the Bible. And I even get my jokes from the Bible. And I'm going to ask you a simple question. Why is it that Peter denied the Lord 3 times? Anybody know? Why is it that Peter denied the Lord 3 times? We would say maybe a lack of faith, but really, you read a couple chapters earlier, he had healed his mother-in-law. That's why, come on now, you know that was funny. I'll sit down now. Matthew chapter number 24, we're not preaching out there, it's just another joke, okay? Matthew chapter number 24, it talks about the Lord coming back, and it says, "Two women will be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left behind." And then it says, "There will be two men sleeping in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other left behind." What spiritual truth do we get from that? We need to get our theology from the Bible. It's this. It said, two women are grinding at the mill, two men are sleeping in the bed. The women ought to be doing all the work, and the men ought to be sleeping all day. That's what I got out of it. All right, I won't tell any more jokes. James 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 19. We are always excited to be back, and things are going well with the church plan. We'll have access to the building July 1st. And July 18th, we should have our first service. And again, we're going to have a lot of pianos, it looks like. I had a man, a pastor up in Oklahoma, we're going to be with him July 4th. And so I was amazed that he would have us in on July 4th, but he's having us in July 4th. And he said, "When you come, you might want to bring a truck." And he said, "I don't know if you want it, but we've got a piano and an organ if you want it." I said, "Well, I guess so. We've got 2 keyboard pianos, and my uncle offered me another one and an organ, so we might have all kinds of pianos and organs." And I said, "Brother, we just need somebody to play the thing." And so it doesn't have to do any good to have them all. Nobody can play them, you know. So anyways, y'all pray about that. James chapter number 1 and verse number 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And let's pray. Lord, we are once again thankful for a time where we can come together in your house in a free nation and open the bread of life and be fed from it. Lord, I pray that that's exactly what would take place tonight. Lord, you know I'm always humbled and always nervous to an extent to get behind the sacred desk of God and to preach your holy word. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that as I speak to the ears of these your people, that your Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. And God, I pray that you'd make us more like Christ as a result of it. We'll be sure to thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last two verses I read here, verse number 26 and verse number 27, it mentions a word that the subject's all throughout the Bible, but the word is really not used that often in the Scriptures. In fact, really, this is the only two times in the Bible, the only one time in the Bible that it's really given in a positive light. And in fact, it's negative and positive in this situation, but it's the word religion. It's a word that's used commonly in our culture and in our society. And a lot of times if somebody gets dedicated and sold out to the work of God, people would say they've gotten religious, but a lot of times we don't know what we mean by that. The word religion. There in verse number 26, it says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So we know that there's a false type of religion. There's a vain type of religion. There's an empty type of religion. And there in verse number 27 it says, but there's also a pure type of religion. Pure religion and undefiled, and it gives the definition of pure religion. And all of us, if I was to do a survey and go through the crowd and start asking you, what is your definition of true pure religion? I'm sure we'd get different answers. I'm sure in this crowd a lot of the answers would be the same, but we ought to get, like anything, we ought to get our definition and our mindset about a subject, not from what we think or from what we deduct from other religions or from other speakers or from any other, even a preacher, but from what the Word of God has to say about it. If you look up the word religion in your dictionary, this is what I got from the Webster's Dictionary. It says, in the most comprehensive sense, it includes a belief in the being and perfections of God, in the revelation of His will to man, in man's obligation to obey His commands, in a state of reward and punishment, and in man's accountability, accountableness to God. And so we know sort of what religion is, but if we were to go to the Bible, and I'm going to here in a minute, and tell you what the Bible's definition of religion is, some of us would be a little surprised of what it is. It may be a little bit different from what we think it is. And of course, we know what false religions are. We'd get up and we'd say with great forwardness that the Muslims and the Church of Christ and all these other religions, we'd say those are false religions. But you'd be surprised how many of us practice false religions in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. True religion. What is true religion? And we call ourselves religious, and we call ourselves a group. We call ourselves a religious body. But if I'm going to be religious and I'm going to be a Christian, I want to be the right kind. I want to be a true Christian. I want to be the true kind of religion. Verse number 26, I'll give you my first point. I'll give you 3 points. I'm going to tell you what the points are because my wife told me to tell them because she said, every time you preach, you have good points, but nobody knows what they are. You just give them to us. And so I'm going to tell you what the points are. Point number one is our communication of true religion. The communication of true religion. Verse number 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's amazing, the first thing he talks about when he talks about religion is he talks about the tongue. Now we know if you've studied James much and you go through James chapter number 3, pretty much the whole chapter 3 is about bridling your tongue, is about how it's a world of iniquity set on fire. And he talks about the tongue many times, but he said false religion, somebody who seems to be religious but they can't hold their tongue, they can't bridle their tongue, he said this man's religion is vain. And I believe that this whole portion of Scripture that I read, verse 19 through verse 27, gives us all the aspects of true religion. If you go back to verse number 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, it talks about the tongue once again, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So the first thing I want you to see about the tongue and about true religion is it listens more than it speaks. It listens more than it speaks. I don't know how much witnessing you've done, but I remember when I first started witnessing and first tried to go out and tell people about Jesus, I found out that I ran into a lot of different religions, and they didn't really want to hear what I had to say. They didn't want to hear what the Bible had to say. They just wanted to talk, talk, talk. Has anybody else been in that situation? They don't care. They want to talk, but they don't want to listen. And the Bible says, let us be slow to hear, or swift to hear, but slow to speak. In other words, we ought to be listening more than we're speaking. And again, in James chapter number 3, it talks about, be not many teachers, seeing that they will receive the greater condemnation. In other words, don't be one that wants to be in the spotlight all the time, always speaking the Word of God, because you're going to receive a greater judgment, because you're the one giving the Word of God. You ought to study the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of God, and know what you're talking about before you say something about it. Swift to hear, slow to speak. The Bible says this in Proverbs 17 and verse number 28. It says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. The Bible says, even a foolish man, if he keeps his mouth closed, he seemed to be a wise man. Many of the greatest preachers I've ever seen didn't say a lot in just the common getting togethers, the common fellowships. I mean, they would speak, but I used to think, man, he just seems to be a shy, backward kind of guy. And then when we got behind the pulpit, man, he was crazy. But I found out, you know, he's just practicing what this verse says. He's going to think before he speaks, and that's what it's talking about here. True religion thinks before it speaks. It doesn't just shoot off the mouth. I've been amazed at some of the things that made me think about preaching on this. I've just been amazed about how many people want to tell me how to start a church and how to build a church that have never done it. You know, if I was doing it, I'd do it this way. That's not who I want to hear from. I want to hear from the guys that have actually done it. You know, they're going to get up and say, this is, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this, and everybody else is doing it wrong. I'm thinking, I don't say it to them, I'm thinking, you've never done this. Are you sure you know what you're talking about? You might want to listen to the men that have done it and not be so swift to speak. True religion is slow to speak, or swift to hear, slow to speak. It's also not angry speech. There at the end of verse 19, it says, slow to wrath. Verse 20 says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, which simply means an abundance of naughtiness. I looked up that word naughtiness, and it means depravity, malignity, wickedness, and the last adjective it gives is malice. The word malice means extreme enmity of heart or malevolence, a disposition to injure others without cause from mere personal gratification or from a spirit of revenge. And so a lot of these verses have to do with anger. And he says true religion doesn't have anger mixed in with it. I'm amazed at how many, I'm talking about independent fundamental Baptist preachers now, that'll get up and they want to speak, and I'm for their position, but I'm not for their disposition. They say, bless God, if you don't like it, you can lump it and you can bump it, you can jump it, and they'll get up and they got an angry, hateful spirit. I don't believe that's of God. Jesus said this, he said, by this, the world's going to know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. And this type of religion, you know, you get into the Muslims and their mosque and all this, and you know, I guarantee you, you go over to these predominantly Muslim countries, and if you're a Christian, brother, they'll cut your head off. They hate Christians. They hate anybody that opposes them, anyone that's against their religion. They show their anger, they show their wrath, they show their malice. The Bible says that's false religion, and we ought to be careful in our independent Baptist circles. We like to get around and talk bad about people, and they have like the Fighting Fundamentalist Forum where a bunch of guys just get together and talk bad about other preachers. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God's not in that, and that is not true religion. It doesn't have anger, and it doesn't have wrath, it doesn't have malice. True religion is in our communication. True religion in its communication is not filthy. Therefore, there in verse number 21 again, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. We've used the terminology many times, filthy talk, potty mouth, and anybody knows that, you know, even an unbeliever, when they see somebody at work and they claim to be a Christian and they're cussing all the time, they know that there's something wrong with that. That doesn't seem to be true Christianity, true religion, and I don't have to preach to you much about that, about having the right kind of speech. True religion speaks correctly. Number two, not only the communication of true religion, but we've got the conduct of true religion. Verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction. And widows in their affliction. It says true religion isn't just religion in speech. It says that's part of it. your speech ought to show that you have true religion, but that's not all there is. It says true religion also has conduct, it has action. And most of this chapter has to do with us doing something. Again, there in the end of verse number 21, it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The first thing that has to do with our conduct has to do with receiving the word of God. The Bible says true religion, people that are in the true type of worship and true type of religion, they will receive the word of God which is engrafted into our hearts. The word, and it's got the attitude, it says with meekness. The word meekness means to be in an evangelical, I can't say the word, sense, humility, resignation, submission to the divine will without murmuring or peevishness, opposed to pride, arrogance, and refractoriness. The action is engrafted, which means to be implanted. It is like a seed planted in your heart, and it's allowed to grow. There's something wrong with somebody, and Brother Stone said something about it on Sunday. There's something bad wrong with somebody that says, I'm a Christian, I've got true religion, but I don't want to hear the Word of God. And every time you ever rebuke them or reprove them about some kind of sin in their life, you say, listen, man, you ought not be listening to that rap music. You ought not be listening to that country music. You ought not be listening to that stuff that's got cussing in. You ought not be watching those movies that take you down the wrong direction and take you to a worldly standard. And you ought not be doing these things, and they get upset about that. I'm telling you, there's something bad wrong with that. When somebody doesn't want to receive the Word of God, it says it should be allowed to be implanted in their heart and allowed to grow. Receives the Word of God. It does the Word of God. Verse number 22 says, But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's words here, some D words in here that are mentioned over and over again. The word doer is mentioned twice. Deed. And then it says deceived is mentioned twice. That a lot of things, and it's talking about when you're not doing something. It says if you're not doing something, you can come and sit in a church and listen to the preaching and listen to the singing. But if you're not doing something with your Christianity, you are deceiving yourselves. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He gives the illustration. He said, it's like a man that wakes up in the morning and goes and looks in his mirror. Now, I don't know how y'all look in the morning, but I look messed up, brother. My hair's going everywhere. And you know my breath's got to be stinking because I'm 8 feet from the mirror, but there's fog going on it. And, I mean, I look terrible. He says, it's like somebody going to look in the mirror saying, yeah, I'm messed up, man. But he doesn't take a comb and fix his hair. He doesn't take a toothbrush and brush his teeth. He doesn't put some clothes on. He just goes, well, whatever. Goes from the mirror, forgets that he's messed up. He needs to fix something. He says the same thing like when somebody goes to church and they hear preaching all the time. And they say, yeah, that's messed up. I need to fix this in my life. And they go out the door and they don't comb their hair spiritually. They don't fix their clothing spiritually. They don't brush their teeth spiritually. He's saying they go and they see the mess, but they don't change it. I believe that's where most fundamental Baptists are today. I preach all over this country, and I can tell you 90%, maybe not 90, 80% of the people in our churches, they come, they sit, they soak, and they sour, but they never go out. They never win anybody to Christ. They never tell anybody about Jesus. They don't have a prayer life. They don't have a Bible study life. They hear the Word of God, but they don't do it. And Jesus said, that's not true religion. You're deceiving yourselves. You're the same as a Muslim. You got false religion. You're the same as the Church of Christ. You're the same as as all these other false religions. You're the same as a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. To say, I've got true religion. I hear the word of God, but I'm not a doer. He said, you're deceiving yourselves. Receives the word of God, but doesn't do the word of God. We've seen the communication of true religion. We've seen the conduct of true religion. Thirdly, I want you to see the character of true religion. Again, in verse number 27, gives us the definition of true religion. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me go back real quick. I wanted to hit on this. It said to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Back on the conduct of true religion here, on what we should be doing. You know, I've always felt like I was pretty good at the ministry part of it, you know, of the soul winning and all those things, and this is ministry part as well. But you know, until recently, I really hadn't gotten under conviction about this, and I'm admitting things here before you, confessing my sin, I guess. But This has been a weak part of my Christianity, to visit the fatherless and the widows. Now, that doesn't just mean people that are fatherless and widows, although it includes those. He's simply saying those that can't help themselves, those that are in trouble, those that are down and out. He said we ought to be true Christianity, true religion will help those people. And, man, God really been working on me about that. We were making a 24-hour trip from Virginia and coming back home. And about halfway home, my tire just blew out, man. I mean, it was gone. And so we're stopping on the side of the road. I said, oh, that's all right. You know, I got a spare back here. I got a little donut and I'll put it on and we'll make it to the next gas station and I'll buy a new tire. And so I jacked it up, took the tire off, put the donut on and jacked it back down. And as soon as it hit the ground, oh, man, my donut's flat, too. And this stuff only happens to me, you know. You're like, whatever, it happens to us, too. But we're like 10 hours away from home. I'm thinking, man, I looked on the GPS and it said the closest gas station was 8 miles away. So, okay, well, we'll see what we can do here. So I put my flashers on. We kind of waving people down. And I mean, it was a busy interstate. We're in Tennessee. I mean, it's part of the Bible Belt. Surely some good Christian's going to stop and help us out here. And I mean, we got the Jesus fish on the back of our car. They know we're legit, right? And so, we marked ourselves. And so, nobody stopped. And, you know, of course, me and my, I always have the right spirit. You know, I'm just a preacher and I always have the right spirit. Man, somebody stops. What's wrong with them? And so, I'm driving on this flat donut with my, you know, my flashers on. And lo and behold, before we got to that gas station, we ran into a Walmart and stopped there, got my tire, got a new tire put on, and we were on our way. And so we drove till about 11:30 that night, and we were going to drive through. I said, I just need to stop and get a little rest. We stopped at a rest stop, and a guy was waving at us, you know, kind of a homely-looking guy, and he was waving us down, and I was just, you know, doing my thing. And my wife says, I think that guy's trying to get our attention. I said, I know he is. I know he is. You know, quiet. And so I was like, all right, I rolled the window down and he had, you know, a sob story and I don't know if it was true or not, but he said, you know, we made a long trip and we just need to make it to, I don't know where they were trying to get. It was a town that was about an hour away. And he said, we're just trying to get there. My credit card won't work. I just need to get enough gas money to get to the next town. And I said, all right, you know, and at first I was thinking, I don't want to give this guy money. And then God kind of swung my heart. He said, listen. You know, you just earlier today, you were on the side of the road thinking, would somebody help me out? And now I'm bringing it back to you. Are you going to be what I want you to be? I'm trying to show you some things here. I said, all right. So I pulled some money in my pocket and said, will that be enough? He said, yeah, that'll be plenty. And so God was just really working. And the day before, the preacher, we were at a missions conference. He preached on the Good Samaritan, you know, and really brought this to light in my eyes because it was religious people that passed that Good Samaritan by. The Levite and the priest, and I'm sure they were busy. They got big missions conferences to preach, man. They got things to do. They're on their way to soul winning program and visitation night, you know. They don't have time for people. They're going to help people, you know. And God was kind of convicting my heart, say, listen, your job is people. Help somebody. True religion is an undefiled before God. It says, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And I just kind of wonder tonight is, I've just been under conviction about this more and more. How many times do we see somebody with their flashers on the side of the road and we don't stop, you know, because we're busy. And I know not always, you know, sometimes you can't always stop. And sometimes I kind of rationalize it with myself. Like, I don't know much about cars and they got a cell phone, you know, but you never know what situation. They may be 9 hours from home and they don't have anyone close that can help them. And they may need you to just go get some gas for them or something. Help them change their tire, whatever. Help people out in their trouble. The conduct of true religion. Thirdly is the character of true religion. Verse 27, the end of it. It says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To keep himself unspotted from the world. Again, this chapter speaks many times. Verse 21, again, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He said, the true religion will keep himself unspotted from the world. What that simply means is, I don't want to walk so close to the world that their stench gets onto me. I don't want to, figuratively speaking, I don't want to, let me give you this illustration. Charlie Clark, have any of y'all ever heard Charlie Clark preach? None of you have. He's a great preacher. He's from New Jersey. He preached at Champion all the time. But he came to a National Youth Workers Conference one year, and he wore a pure white suit. And you know that wasn't his style. You know, he's a white preacher. And so he didn't wear the pure white suits, you know. But he got there and had a pure white suit on. And he was preaching about getting yourself defiled by the world. And he brought out a permanent black marker. And he said, listen, you preachers, you're preaching to preachers. You see preachers going on. And you go to these airports, and you think nobody's around. And you look at those magazines on the side there. Just take a little peek what you're doing. Take a black marker, and he put an X on his suit coat. And then he'd preach about another sin, say you're listening to this type of music or you're doing this type of lifestyle, and you think nobody's watching. You're watching this television show thinking it doesn't matter, and puts another black mark on it. And says, what you're doing is you're getting spotted by the world. He said, pure religion is this, to stay unspotted from the world. I want to stay as far away from the world as I can. Jesus said, we don't want to be worldly, we want to be godly. And I'm tired of Christians who want to stay on the fence line saying, you know what, well, what's wrong with this? Well, what's wrong with this? Some people always ask, what's wrong with this? It's because they don't have a godly perspective on outlook on life. You ought to say, you know what? I want to do what's pleasing to my Father. I want to dress the way that's pleasing to God. I want to listen to the music that's pleasing to God. I want to watch movies that are pleasing to God. I want to, in everything that I do, my speech, my conduct, my lifestyle, I want it to be unspotted by the world. We're living in a day and age where people don't like preaching against sin and they want to live worldly and still go to church and shout. Listen, that's not the way the Bible teaches it, friend. The Bible still says that there's some things that are an abomination to God. He still says that there's some things that we ought to stay away from, and we ought to live a holy lifestyle. These churches are going around saying we've got this grace movement, and we can live any way we want because we're under grace. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that we ought to live godly because we're under grace, and we ought to be more spiritual because of what Jesus has done for us. Character of true religion. You don't hear preaching about living right much anymore, but we need it. If we ever needed it, it's now. I was looking up some statistics because I felt it was a need to give the validity of my ministry. There were some missionaries, you know, and they were going to all these foreign countries, and I was starting a church in America, and sometimes people look at you and say, well, you know, I don't know if his ministry is as necessary as the guy going to Malta or China or something, you know. And so I got some statistics together, and I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but did you know that it's 89% of pornography is printed in the United States of America, of the world's pornography. It is printed right here in the great U.S. of A. And 50% of marriages in the United States end in divorce. I mean, our country's just falling apart because preachers don't want to preach on sin anymore. Listen, I still believe in acting right. I still believe in living right. I still believe in spitting straight, walking straight, doing straight. I believe, I like preaching where they talk about living right. Character of true religion. So I ask you tonight, I mean, we like to get up and rip on the Muslims and the Pentecostals and all these false religions, but what about you? Are you living a true religion? The Bible says if you come to church but your speech don't back up what you say you are, you don't have true religion. The Bible said here if you're a hearer of the word but not a doer, he said you're deceiving yourself. You don't have true religion. Let me ask you just a pointed question. When's the last time you point blank asked somebody and witnessed to somebody? If you were to die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven. The Bible says we're to be witnesses to all the world. It says we're supposed to witness every chance we get. And that's me too. I get under conviction all the time. Man, at the gas station or wherever we go, at, you know, checking out at Walmart, we ought to be witnessing to those people. You hear about it, but do you do it? Do you have true religion? The conduct, the communication, and the character. You say you have true religion, but I'm sure there's men in here look at pornography on the internet. You say you got true religion, but you watch television shows that you know are not honoring to Christ. You say you have true religion, but you listen to music that you know Jesus would not be satisfied with, would not be glorified with. So let me ask you the simple question. Do you personally, not does this church, do you personally practice true, pure religion? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word once again. Lord, I know this is not the type of preaching that gets a lot of shouting and excitement. But Lord, this is, I believe, what is needed in this day and hour. And God, I know that other preachers could have said it better. But Lord, all I did was preach your word, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And God, it's just the basics of Christianity. Help us to speak in a way that would be honoring and glorifying to you. Help us to live a life. Help our conduct and our character to show others that we are Christians, that we practice true religion. God, help us to be witnesses. Help us to be students of the Bible. Help us to have a prayer life. Help us to do everything we can for the kingdom of God. Help us to live right, God. Stay away from those things that we know shouldn't be in our life. And God, I know that I always need this type of preaching. I don't preach this way to condescend to anyone. And I'm sure there's greater Christians in this room than I will ever think about being. But Lord, it's Your Word. It's not me. It's Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be more like Christ. That's the prayer, to be more like You. Lord, I pray that You bless in this invitation time. We ask it in Jesus' name.